Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Aaron Boone, Craig and Evan, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great. Well, congratulations, first and foremost. Was there
Your
ever...
Your sweatshirt's coming.
Now we're talking. Thank you. It's about time. Was there a time at all over the last 2 weeks where you thought there was a possibility that you weren't going to come back?
A possibility? Sure. Yeah. I guess all the way till the very end, I didn't know for certain. You know, we had a lot of things to work through. You know, I had a lot of things to consider and think on and pray on and talk with my family. And, you know, so there were a lot of little things to work through. I mean, in the end, I was hoping that it would come to this and come to this ending, and probably felt optimistic about that. But I never felt like it was a certainty.
There was a perception, because it had taken 2 weeks, that they're letting Aaron Boone twist in the wind. Did you ever feel like you were twisting in the wind?
No. You know, I know they're right after our season, there was probably, you know, a week where, you know, you just the end of the season and letting it breathe. And I know front office and ownership kind of doing their due diligence, and, you know, and then I actually had a conversation with Hal Tuesday, I think last Monday, where we spoke for about 15 or 20 minutes, and, you know, he informed me that he wanted to have me back, and then it was just a matter of you know, my agent and Cash kind of working out a deal, and obviously we were able to get it done.
You didn't seem, and as I've gotten to know you, and please tell me if I'm wrong on this, you're not like a lot of guys where you don't come across as a person where you're motivated by, you know, the money, how much money am I going to get, or even the length of the contract. As you said at the press conference today, you know, you didn't demand a three-year deal. You would have signed maybe a two-year deal, whatever. So I'm trying to figure out if you do feel like you would have been a popular candidate on the open circuit, as Cashman did say today. What specifically, other than the respect we all have as a dad and husband, I don't want to move my kids and my family every 3 years. What was it about the Yankees coming back that made you say, hey, maybe that is better than San Diego? Hey, maybe that is better than St. Louis, or the New York Mets, for example? What specifically is the driving force there for you?
I'm invested here. You know, the family part of things, you know, that you spoke on, but just organizationally, you know, I came here, you know, left doing what I was doing because I wanted to get back into being a part of a team and in the game and have a chance to compete for a championship. And, you know, we haven't gotten to that point yet, obviously. And so that's kind of my driving force. And I have a lot of strong connections with, you know, players now that, you know, have played for me for 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, whatever it is. You know, I feel strong ties with my staff and the front office and ownership, and feel like in a way, you know, it's unfinished business. You know, I still want to compete at the highest level and try and bring a championship. And that's kind of, from a baseball standpoint, my motivation, and this is where I wanted to do that. You know, as far as all the other, you know, San Diego, whatever open jobs there are out
there,
yeah, in the end, those those are all just people speculating. The reality is, you know, had I not signed, I'm still under contract for the next month. We were going to absolutely honor that and not go down the business of trying to find out or, you know, certainly tamper or do those kind of things. And I wanted to keep my focus on being here where, you know, I feel like this is where I want it to happen. And that was my focus.
Now, you mentioned the coaching staff. When the decisions were made to move on from three coaches, were you told this is what we're doing, or were you part of the discussion on, hey, I think we should change things up? What do you think about it? How did that process work?
Yeah, I mean, you know, ultimately that wasn't my decision. And, you know, I'm certainly in on it and have these conversations. And ultimately, you know, we always have disagreements and conversations and talk through things and do our due diligence on things. So ultimately, you know, I have to become on board and do what, you know, I think is get to this place. One of the things that I had to deal with was that was a hard part of this, is going through that and seeing people you really care about knowing they're not coming back. That was something that I had to come to grips with and had to ultimately be okay. And could I move past that? And I got to that place and feel like my relationship with, in this case, Marcus and PJ and Phil are strong and will always be strong. And, you know, ultimately there's attrition that happens, you know, especially when you don't reach your ultimate goal. And I understand that's part of the business and part of the difficult decisions that we all have sometimes.
Does moving on from Marcus and PJ mean that there's going to be a different approach, a philosophical change when it comes to approach at the plate next year?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we're going to kind of go through the interview process and probably talk to a handful of people. You know, we have some people in mind of the road we want to go down, but I don't know if, you know, I don't know if necessarily philosophical, because, you know, I'm aligned with what Marcus and PJ, you know, teach and talk about. And the bottom line is they're really, really good coaches and really, really good people and have the ability to connect and command respect. And so, you know, obviously a new voice is going to be different on some level, and there'll be different things and different things that I'm sure the next hitting coach incorporates and hopefully allows us to continue to get a little bit better.
Well, talking to Aaron Boone, who's back, 3-year contract plus an extension, could keep him here through 2025. Listen, you've been around long enough, just yourself, your brother, your dad, like, you know the business well enough. When the GM comes out repeatedly and says, we didn't hit enough, when, you know, you get thrown out at the plate 22 times, you know what's going to happen. I imagine that PJ and Marcus and Phil, who are baseball men, knew what was going to happen as well. I don't think them not coming back necessarily surprised anybody. Am I right on that?
I don't know. I think maybe in some cases Marcus and PJ maybe sensed that potentially coming. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, when you're in it, when you're grinding away at it, and for us fighting for a playoff position and getting like you're consumed with that. You're not necessarily, you're not getting ahead of yourself and thinking about, you know, jobs and things like that, or off season moves or off season coaching changes. You know, so I'm not sure there. No, I don't think Phil was expecting this, but at the same time, we, you know, a lot of our coaches, obviously this is a case where their contracts are expiring, so it's a little bit of a difference.
Sure. So I wonder, as we talk to Aaron Boone here, you know, they made changes like that. There is a notion now in Major League Baseball, it's a disrespectful notion, that the manager has been marginalized, that it's not like it was 20 years ago where it's your team, you're making the decisions, that the thought now is, at best, it's a group decision, but it's the suits upstairs that are making a lot of decisions, analytical decisions, you know, an opener versus a starter and all the crap that we all hear about and, you know, it's talked about on and on and on. Do you agree with that notion? And was there a moment over the last year specifically where you felt that, where you felt like, you know, it wasn't solely up to you to make a decision that was going to impact the team?
First of all, I would say, yes, it's very different than 20 years ago. And it is much more of a collaborative world. That said, I think it's grossly exaggerated, at least in my experience. I obviously can't speak for other teams and what they go through as far as, you know, what my role is or what my decisions are each and every day. You know, most of the things that come down, especially game related, are decisions I make along with my coaching staff. We have, you know, obviously a lot of information, a lot of things that are given to us that we pour through on a daily or a nightly basis the night before that certainly influence our decision. But I've always felt like the game decisions are my decisions.
I want to ask you something real specific because I think it jumped out to a lot of us as baseball fans when Dave Roberts said, I was one voice of many in their approach for game five. Every organization is different. I respect that. And the Dodgers are a hell of an organization. Is that the same? Like when making a decision?
No, I have not come across that.
So you now, are making that decision.
Yes. And certainly there are big, you know, decisions like that come across that a lot of people have their input when we're going to do something like that, you know, have suggestions or their inputs or their whys and things like that. But ultimately when it comes to enacting it, in the course of a game or, you know, in the course of, you know, deciding who's playing that day, that ultimately falls in my lap.
Okay, because that, I think, and I admit I was a part of it, when that came out, when Dave said that, I was like, well, I guess every team's like that. And you're saying you're just different, that's not the way the Yankees are making decisions and you're making decisions.
No.
Speaking about decisions, the one decision you guys got right, but I think for most fans too late, was moving Gleyber to second base. When you look back, and I'm sure you've done this, when you look back on this past season, are there a couple decisions that you'd like to have back or you wish you could have made earlier? I assume moving Gleyber to second would be one of those that, had you done that, you know, 2 months earlier, maybe there's a different outcome. Like, well, for you, what are those decisions that you look back and go, man, we could have done better at that?
I mean, that's one of those ultimately that was my decision and something I decided to do late in the year. It's something that I actually talked about with my coaches a couple months prior, even talked to Cash about a couple months prior and you know, decided to hold off on it. And then ultimately I felt like the time that I did make the decision, you know, it was the decision I had to make at that time. So, whether I should have done it earlier or not, maybe. I mean, we can quibble over that, and it's not necessarily something I kick myself a ton about, but it is something that definitely, you know, crossed my mind or I gave some serious consideration to much earlier in the season.
Looking back at this roster, at this locker room, does this locker room have all the leaders that it needs, or do you think that is something that could be added to improve it?
I think we do. I think we have the right ingredients. I think we have the right people. I think we have the right voices that are the strong voices. You know, but we certainly have area to grow in that still. You know, I'm certainly a part of that in helping that grow and need to make sure that continues to grow because, you know, especially here, especially playing here in New York, playing for the Yankees, you know, the noise can get loud and become a distraction if you allow it to. And it's, you know, incumbent on me and the leaders in our room to make sure that, you know, not only do we have broad shoulders, but that we're you know, putting all our focus where it needs to be each and every day. And that's preparing to be the best we can be.
Do you think the noise ever became a distraction?
I think there were different times in the course of the year where, you know, it maybe had an effect here and there, a day here, a week here on certain guys. Yeah, I think, but that's part of it. I think you can make that case that there's some effect each and every year and some guys and teams and years are better at dealing with it and handling it. But I think that creeps in every now and then, yes.
Talking to Aaron Boone, you said that the Gleyber to second wasn't one of those decisions that you kind of lose sleep over now or kick yourself about. Can you give us an example of one of those decisions that you do Or did Lee lose sleep over looking back on it?
I don't know. Early in the year when, or sometime in the middle of the year, like I wish I, there was a game where ultimately, I think it was the Royals, where I decided to walk Carlos Santana. And I had gone out to the mound to talk to Chappie about it.
I remember that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we were going to pitch around him. And as I got back to the dugout, I just kind of changed my mind. So I wish I would have been probably a little more decisive in that moment, making that call, you know, more earlier and more with more conviction and not, you know, going back to the dugout and probably catching everyone a little bit by surprise. That's one of those that, you know, I probably should have been more decisive in the moment.
How do you balance? Because, look, I get it's 162 games. You want to keep guys healthy. You don't want to overuse your bullpen in April and May. But how do you balance the urgency that every game matters? I mean, you could look back at any game this year and say, hey, you win that game, the game's at Yankee Stadium. And maybe Stanton, it's three home runs, as crazy as that is. But how do you balance the urgency of winning as many games as you can to it's a 162-game season? And can you see that balance changing in the future or remaining the same?
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate challenge, I think, when you're navigating a regular season. I think where we're hurt a little bit this year is because we didn't, you know, we didn't have the offense that we've had the last few years where we, you know, whatever, been the top one or two team in the league run scored. This year scoring runs was a struggle for us sometimes. So we found ourselves playing in so many close games, and especially coming off a COVID season. And so you're leaning on, you're in these high leverage situations almost every night. So you're leaning on, you know, Loaizaga way more than he ever has in his career as he's developed. You're leaning on Chad Green. You're leaning on these guys more and more. And that's why it was really important for us to try and develop other guys within our bullpen. That I think is one of the things that really happened this year is we were able to lean on a number of guys really established themselves in important roles and, you know, helped us win a lot of games pitching in some situations that maybe at the beginning of the year you didn't necessarily envision them in. So that's always a balance you got to strike. I mean, you know, there's games where you got to have the discipline to, you know, when it's really hard to stay away from a key guy. But there's times that you get burnt by that, by saying, all right, we're going to run this guy, even though you feel like it's a day you need to stay away. And maybe they're not quite as sharp and it blows up on you. And then you end up paying for it. So it's a balance you got to strike, and certainly one of the challenges, but certainly part of the gig.
Talking to Aaron Boone, let's get to the guy that, you know, disappoints me the most, and it's a big question mark going into next year for me, and I think for a lot of Yankee fans, and that's Gerrit Cole, who obviously has the unbelievably poor showing in Boston for the wild card game, and frankly, from Spider Tech on, has an ERA about 4. And I say to myself, well, unless they collectively bargain that sticky stuff back into the game next year, we got a $36 million a year pitcher who is not an ace, is not a lights out starter, and clearly wasn't what Yankee fans wanted him to be the second half of the season, and clearly in Boston. Where are you guys at right now with Gerrit Cole, and what's the concern level that he may have become a pedestrian pitcher because of that Spider Tech stuff?
I think he's absolutely an ace, and the time moving forward will bear that out. You know, even though, like you said, you know, from that point on, you know, had more ups and downs, certainly in his outings. I think there were a number of teams, pitchers that had to make certain adjustments. But I think everything, you know, that you look at from a stuff, from a just quality of pitches, shapes of pitches, you know, when you measure those kind of things, everything suggests he's going to be an ace pitcher for us moving forward. I expect that. You know, it's hard to quantify. You know, also, you know, we came off of a weird season last year, and even though we felt very good about pushing him to, you know, he didn't get to the 200 inning mark because of, you know, he had the hamstring issue that cost him a start or two. He had COVID that knocked him down but there were a lot of really tremendous outings along the way, you know, post the enforcement of that stuff.
What do you think happened to him at Fenway? I mean, he wasn't good at Fenway all year, but specifically wild card game. It's the moment guys like that you think live for. Did you know pregame that he didn't have it? Like, what went wrong that day?
You know, I just think at the back end of the year, and again, I do think he was healthy, but there's no telling, you know, what, you know, sometimes, you know, you have a little bit of an injury or a setback. There's some subtle things that can affect you. You go in that game, probably some pitch selection things that probably weren't the best pitches at the time. There's a lot of things that I think contributed. Also, we're seeing, obviously, a team in the Red Sox that have really caught fire offensively right now. And, you know, they made it very tough on them. But I don't think there's anything that I see stuff-wise or repertoire-wise that won't suggest that he's going to, you know, bounce back and absolutely be the ace we expect him to be.
The interpretation I got, Craig, got from what Brian Cashman said is that this roster is going to look very different. Do you get that sense that going into opening day next year, you're going to be managing a different-looking team?
You know what? We'll see. I don't know. We don't even know. You know, I know we don't necessarily have the budget yet. You know, there's obviously things that happen, you know, the collective bargaining agreement's up, you know, like, you know, the one thing I know is, you know, Cash and the front office will be, you know, exploring everything free agent wise, trade wise, where we can make improvements, where we need to add and subtract. So I think it's possible that there'll be some serious turnover, but you really never know until, you know, the off season kind of unfolds. And in a lot of cases, you know, especially if you're in the trade market, it takes a couple teams to tango. And, but I know we'll be exploring a lot of different things.
Do you think Carlos Correa will fit the locker room well?
He did say he likes pinstripes the other day.
He did.
He didn't say which color blue, that's all.
Yeah, he's keeping his options open, Aaron.
So what's your wish list? I know Brian said you'd have a new shortstop. Everyone knows that. You may have a new first baseman. You may have a new center fielder. You may have a new catcher. I know you guys all respect the Gary Sanchez work ethic, but, you know, I think it stands to reason that Gary Sanchez is not here. Among those positions and anything else, when you sit down and they eventually get around the room and get to you and they say, all right, Aaron, if you were king for the day, you want blank. Like, where do you want the most help this offseason?
Yeah, I'm not going to answer that question. you know, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone else, or it just depends. It depends what you're comparing and what the cost is and all those kind of things. You know,
how about style?
You know, I'll have my opinions, certainly. And I just, you know, want us to, you know, continue to get better.
How about style, though? There's a lot to be said that when Florial was here, when Allen was here, even Velasquez.
Athleticism.
Having speed, and, you know, Tyler Wade was out all year for you, but athletes, having guys who can go first to third, having guys who can steal a base, hit and run, that was a dynamic you didn't start the season with. Would you like more of that?
Of course. Of course. I want it all. You know, I want more athleticism. I want better defense. I want more power. I want, you know, better pitching. Yeah, we're chasing that, you know, this utopia of a team, a more perfect team all the time. And, you know, it's...
Did you enjoy having three lefties in the lineup? Was that something that did you enjoy having three lefties in the lineup?
I did.
All right.
You like that better than having nine righties in the lineup?
Now we're getting somewhere. More lefties, more speed.
Although I would say to you, the Toronto Blue Jays, which were kind of a wrecking machine offensively, ran out some kind of heavy righties at you, but kind of made it work.
No, the Rays strike out a lot, and they still score a lot of runs. Like, I mean, there are exceptions to everything, but I think ideally you want the balance. You want guys that make contact, guys that a mix and match of lefties and righties, ideally.
I got a question for you. Cashman alluded to the fact that DJ LeMahieu was struggling with that sports hernia a lot longer than any of us knew. So now that he has acknowledged that, and I guess he had the surgery last week, and he'll be back in time, should be no problems for him going forward in spring training. How long was he dealing with that this past year?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question because I think, again, like sometimes I compare these guys like they're race cars, right? And that, you know, the difference sometimes when you're, you know, an older player and say a 38-year-old star player, why isn't he quite as good? Because he can do a lot of the things he's always done. He just can't do them quite as consistently and as finely tuned and as specific. So I think there's the potential that there was the onset of that injury that kind of grew over time. When that exactly began, I'm not quite certain.
Over the last 2 weeks, I think we've analyzed everything about your year managing. And I like to think that Craig and I think of everything, but there was a caller to this radio station who brought up something I had never thought of. And I'd like to give you the opportunity to respond to this. They said, I don't like Aaron Boone because he chews bubble gum in the dugout, and they didn't like that.
Come on.
Do you have a reaction to that heavy criticism that came your way?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I probably do chew it a little too hard and fast, and but, you know, you got to do something, you know what I mean?
Listen, I like the fact you didn't wear a jacket and tie to the press conference today. Quarter zip, you know, blue bugle boys, all good, man. That's I prefer that anyway. That's my thing, right?
That was my Northeastern guy.
Was there ever a part of you that said, all right, if I don't manage the Yankees, I'd manage one of the other teams that has an opening. Boy, that would be so weird managing the Mets. You know, talking to Craig and Evan as the Met manager. Did that thought ever go through your mind of how different maybe this would be?
Yeah, number one, it doesn't pay anything.
very little. I mean, obviously, I had people reaching out to me and, you know, sending me the rumor stuff and whatever. But I was so I'm human and your mind wanders, I guess, a little bit, but for the most part, I was kind of just, you know, really focused on, you know, trying to see if we can get to a resolution here. And, you know, like I said, I thought we were going to be able to, and we kind of worked towards that and we're able to get there.
Final couple of things. Aaron Boone, kind enough to join us on the day it's announced that he has a 3-year extension with a team option. So next 3 years, Aaron Boone is the New York Yankee manager. It sounds to me, I respect the privacy of the conversation, that you have spoken with Phil Nev, and I'm sure you did with PJ and Marcus as well. When Phil came out publicly defending his sending of Aaron Judge against A-Rod's critique, were you pissed at the way Alex also criticized Phil's decision there? And what did you think about Phil responding to it afterwards? Because it doesn't happen a lot.
Let me say, I think Phil is a really good third base coach. Like, really good. And him not coming back had nothing to do with that send. And you know, he's going to be a difficult guy to replace, I think, over there, because he's really good mechanically at the position. He understands how to work. And I certainly understand, I understand his send and what he was looking at and what he was in position to see. And when you see, you know, Kike take the ball and throw it, and it's not a great throw out of his hand, and you know it's going to hit you know it's going to bounce, then you start to calculate, okay, it's got to really bounce and be perfect on both ends to make this happen. So I understand, you know, the send, you know, I understand how it looks, especially when you're out by a lot at home plate, but I understand the things that need to go right to make that happen. And I felt like at least Phil was in the right decision and seeing the right thing when he processed how he was going to send them.
And this is a weird question for you, but you listen to radio, you're on with us, you read things, you know what's going on. Your coming back is not being met with a lot of positive reviews by the Yankee fan base. So you have a chance now to speak to Yankee fans, and a lot of them wish the Yankees, by the way, they want Cashman fired as well. So you're not alone in that. What would you say to Yankee fans going forward, especially the ones that didn't want you back? Is there any message you have for them, anything you want to say to them if you had the chance?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, one of the reasons that I'm here and that I'm doing this is because of the passion of our fan base and the extent of our fan base. And, that people really care about this, and it certainly beats the alternative of people not caring or, you know, being, you know, having, you know, whatever thought to it. You know, people really care about our team and the New York Yankees, and there's an expectation that we have, you know, and an expectation the fan base has that we want championships, and I certainly understand that, and that's certainly my expectation. And, you know, all I can say is I'm doing all I can to put us in that position. And I believe I'm the right guy for this job, the right guy to lead this team. And you know, eventually time's going to tell, you know, whether I'm able to come through with it.
And final thing on a personal level, do the Boones celebrate the contract? Do you and the kids and wife, you guys go out for dinner, you order in, like, once you put your name on the piece of paper and it's official, you get to stay here for 3 more years. How do you guys celebrate that?
Not really. No, I mean, you know how it is. I got kids in sports, so I was at a high school football game last night, a JV game. I was at my daughter's soccer game this afternoon, so like I'm in dad mode when it comes to that, and they're too busy to, you know, obviously they were a big part of the decision and the commitment that you know, not only I have to have, but, you know, my family has to be on board with, and you know, they were all, you know, on board and certainly supportive.
Moving kids from a new school district to another one is not ideal for anybody on a personal level. Like, that's one of the toughest decisions to have to make. And you're in a business where, you know, moving happens a lot. So the fact that you're able to stay put in 3 more years of your kids going to the same school and the things your wife does in the town you guys live in is immeasurable, I think, on a personal level, for sure.
Yeah, and one of my kids, you know, I have 4 kids, so I'm not moving.
That's it.
So.
Do you know who the leak was on Reddit last night? Do you have any idea how it got to the online platform of Reddit before anyone else knew or no?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out.
By the way, Corey Seager just hit a 2-run homer. Where would you hit him? Would you bat him second? Would you bat him third? How would you line up Corey? He'd be perfect.
Aaron, congratulations. Appreciate you coming on. Look forward to 3 more years of doing it with you. And the best to you and your family. Good for you.
All right, and I'll try and get you that sweatshirt. And, hey, Evan, maybe I'll get you a sweatshirt, too.
That would be phenomenal. Watching him having to put on the Yankee colors.
Yeah, that's a real nice gesture. I appreciate it.
He'll be at opening day next year.
Hey, we got Nets tonight.
We do, baby. Are you a Sixer fan as well as an Eagle fan or no?
I am a Sixer fan, but I do pull for the Nets, and you know, I'm friends with Sean Marks, so. It's a little conflicting there.
It's Fugazi is what it is.
Here's what I want to know. Are you on board with the idea of, look, we can't have Kyrie around for half the games. Let's just send him home. Let's end the distraction. Were you on board with that?
I don't know.
How about the fact
glad I'm not making that call.
How about the fact your head coach kicked Ben Simmons out of practice today for conduct detrimental to the team?
He doesn't want
to
be.
Apparently,
there.
He had a cell phone in his pocket.
Oh, I saw the cell phone yesterday. That happened today.
It happened yesterday. I guess he got kicked out today. But he had a cell phone in his pocket.
Yeah, you know
practice.
What they have to do? I know it's a different issue than Kyrie. They have to send him home, too. And then they've just got to figure out a way to trade him because he can't be there. Joel Embiid hates his guts. Yeah. He's saying today, I'm not here to babysit. I mean, just get rid of him. Just get rid of him.
Yeah.
Had a cell phone in his pocket at practice. Like, what are we doing? All right, Aaron, enjoy the family, the kids, and all that stuff. And thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.